Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here this morning.
Sir.
If you got your Bibles or whatever you got to read God's Word, if you would stand this morning for the honor and reading of God's Word, and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It says, "By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the manner as he has walked." The last time I filled in up here for David, we talked on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we looked at grace, and we looked at God showed grace on mankind from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned and God made a sacrifice for them and continued to love them. And our salvation, we seen that mankind, our hearts are evil continuously and that we're wretched. Romans 3, 10, 11 says, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God." We've seen that our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And that it is the gift of God. That our salvation and the faith that it takes to believe in Him is the very gift that God gives us. Not based on any work that we do. Not based on anything that we can do. But solely through the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, in the book of 1 John, we're going to continue to look at our salvation this morning and the assurance that we can have, that we know that we've come to know Him, and the assurance that we can share with others. One of the things, as I talk to people, as I share the gospel with people, as I talk to friends and people that call themselves Christians, and I asked them, "Are you saved?" And people often ask me, "How do I know I'm saved?" Or, "How do you know you're saved? How do I know that I'm a child of God?" And as I ask people, "How do you know that you're saved?" I hear all kinds of answers. Probably the number one answer I hear from people is they say that somewhere in the past, they've repeated a prayer, that someone has said, "Repeat these words after me," and assured them that they have come to know the Lord. I've had people tell me that they've come down the altar during a revival at some point of their life, that they've got down on their knees at that altar and were assured they were saved because they went down front. I've had people tell me they were saved just by being baptized when they were children or being baptized in general. I've had people say that they were saved because they were a member of a church. I had a dear friend of mine who I worked with several years back named Gene Culberson. And Gene Culberson passed away, as far as I know, never coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invited Gene to Grace Bible Church one time. We had a chalk artist and evangelist, Brother Jerry Long, come, and Gene sat right here, and after the gospel was preached, Gene was squirming that night, but Gene, I talked to him the next day, and Gene would not answer the call that God, of submitting himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Gene told me something that I will never forget. It's just like all the other answers that people give, but Gene told me that he was saved because he was a member of a certain fraternal organization. He said, "I'm saved because I'm a Shriner, and they told me by my good works through the shrine that I'm saved. I guarantee you probably could go to most pastors in Rome, Georgia, if not all over this morning. If you ask them honestly, how do I know I'm saved? Most of them is going to say, was there ever a time in your life that you asked Jesus to come into your heart? And unfortunately, that's what most of them is going to ask you. They don't know what God's Word says and how to know for sure that we're saved without a doubt. The Scripture tells us that man is a sinner, and that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith in Him, and that we can rest assured that we are in Him. And the Bible is clear, and it gives us a test. And I've sat down with several people and opened God's Word here in 1 John. And the whole book of 1 John is filled with tests to know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we're only going to look at two. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Flip over there for a moment. Paul is dealing with the sinners there in Corinthians. Paul didn't write to them and say, was there ever a time in your life that you asked Jesus into your heart, when he was dealing with the sin that was in their life? Amen. Chapter 13, verse 5, Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Can we pass the test when someone asks us, do we know the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we assure ourselves that we know the Lord Jesus Christ based on what His Word says? Based on the assurance of God's Word instead of the assurance of what somebody tells us. 1 John has the answers to these questions. If you'll look with me this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, by this we know that we have come to know Him. By this we know that we have come to know Him. Now that word know right there, in the Greek, is the word gnosko. It means knowledge gained by experience. This is the kind of knowledge that we attain, that we gain by the things that we do, is the word that is used here. And I think I was telling David about this the other night, and I was thinking about this last night as an example of things that we gain by experience. And not just what somebody has told us. I had anybody that don't know, I work on air conditioning. And I went to Georgia Northwestern Technical College, and I got a diploma that says I graduated in air conditioning technology. My company has sent me to 8 or 9 different schools over the past 10 years. And I've got certificates that say I know what I'm talking about. But this past week, I had to go. My boss called and told me. He said, hey, we put in a cooling tower on this chiller, and the sensor's not in yet, but whatever you do, you've got to go, and you got to make this thing run. And he knows that I can do it based on the experience that he has for me working for him and the knowledge I've gained through the experience of my job. But I went out to the job, and I was dealing with a man there at the job. And I explained to him what I was going to do to get his tower rolling so he could run his air compressor. And so I told him, here's what I'm going to do. And he said, I'm not going to have it until I know for sure what you're telling me is the truth. We're going to examine it. He said, I'm going to bring my electrical engineer in here, and I'm going to bring my electrician, and you're going to prove to us that what you're saying is correct. Because the man was leaving the next day to go on a trip, and he had to know that his machine was not going to fall after I left. So they came, I showed him, he fired his machine up, and it did what it was going to do. He didn't rely on the fact of what I told him. He looked at what I did as evidence that I knew what I was talking about. By this we know. John is not saying here that we hope or that we think we have come to know him. But we do know him. We have come to know him. It says if we keep his commandments. And that term in keeping his commandments is in the presence as well as in the past tense. And I'm not saying here, but and this verse is not saying here that we are saved and that we come to know God by doing his commandments. But rather it is saying that the evidence that we can know, we know we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. In other words, based on my experience from the fact that I am keeping his the commandments of the Lord, I can know that I've come to know him. I was lost. I was a wretch. And now based on the new nature that I have in me, that I'm a changed person. I've been made a new creature. I'm no longer a slave to sin. It's what the experience is showing us. Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one of whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of disobedience resulting in righteousness?" We're slaves to sin when we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but when we come to know him, the evidence that we know him is that we keep his commandments. Let's look at in 1 John at just a few of the verses that uses this word gnosko, that uses the word that we can know. Chapter 2, verse 29, it says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born in him." Chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but indeed in truth. We will know this, that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him." Verse 24, "The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." Chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. It says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." John chapter 14:23 says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him.'" We know that the word here, gnosko, we know, and the act of obedience is the common denominator in all of 1 John, and especially the ones that we looked at, the verses we just looked at. We must not get confused when we look at this and think that our relationship with God begins with our obedience to him, but that our obedience is evidence of a relationship with God. If we come to know him, we know that we know him. If we come to know him, we keep his commandments. A.W. Tozer said, "Salvation apart from obedience is unknown in sacred scriptures." Too many times in modern churches, we emphasize grace so much that we never tell people that they have to live the Christian life. We turn on the TV, we go in Christian bookstores, and there's books everywhere with people like Osteen and Rick Warren. And as bad as I hate to say it, Andy Stanley, men that say that you can live like you want and do what you want anytime you want, and it's fully acceptable. But that's not what Scripture says. People in churches feel that they can do and say what they want, believe any way they want. And it's no wonder that people doubt their salvation. It's no wonder, because it's impossible to have assurance in something we did. This passage of Scripture, I'm sure, is not taught in the big mega churches in the United States today. How can you tell someone they need a Savior if they don't know they're a sinner? How can you tell someone that they are lost that don't know they're lost? How can someone know they're saved if they're living a life any way they want and has never had a change, never had a new nature? 1 John 2:4 says, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and it does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Someone who claims to know the Lord and wants to live a life of disobedience, John said, is a liar. Over in chapter 1, he also says, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness of all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." How many times have you seen people say on Sunday mornings and in revivals and at times that they're gathered together, you see these people and they shout to the Lord and they do all the things that is expected to do in church, and yet on Monday morning they live a life totally contrary to what God's commands say. Now this is not talking about a believer who sins, because we know that no one is perfect. We know that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We know that as long as we're in this body, we're going to sin. But it's the nature, it's the continuance of sin that is evidence that we do not know him. Romans 2:13 said, "It's for not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified." Titus 1:16 says, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." Back over to John 14:24, it says, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Jesus said, "The one who does not love me does not keep my words." James 2:18 and following says, "But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the work, faith was perfected." Now our salvation, as we know, does not come from our works, but the faith we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the works is evidence of it. I think of the story, I think it's over in Acts chapter 19. Flip over there a minute. Acts chapter 19, starting at verse 11. Flip over here. It's the story of the sons of the Jewish priest here. It says, "God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this, and the evil spirit answered him and said, 'I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you?' You know, when people tell me that they know the Lord Jesus Christ and there is no evidence in their lives to speak of it, you want to ask, who are you? You're not my brother or my sister when all you do is selfish deeds, when you live a life that is contrary to what God's commands are. I want to have the assurance in the salvation. I want for people to know that they can know that they know the Lord Jesus Christ based on the evidence that's in their lives by obeying His commands. There's going to be a lot of people that stand before the Lord that's going to claim that they've known Him. I marked this in my Bible a long time ago as one of the most dangerous verses in all of Scripture. Matthew 7:21-23. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Can you imagine living your whole life because somebody, some preacher, some parent, somebody told you that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ because at one point you prayed a prayer, but there was no evidence in your life that ever showed anything? No wonder people has a hard time knowing that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't know His Word. They don't know His commandments. What are His commandments, you might ask? 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoever keeps His Word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected." Matthew 22:37-39 says, "And He said to them, 'You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Now we could spend from now on learning about the commandments of God and His Word. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's saying with everything you do, you're to love God. "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." 1 John 5:3-4, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." God's Word teaches us His commandments. Any believer that doesn't spend time in God's Word and in prayer, something is desperately wrong in their lives. A baby. It's perfectly natural for a baby to be a baby. They cry, they suck on their toes, they soil their diapers, they put their food all over their face, they do all kinds of things when they're babies. But as they grow, they begin to change. They start to take on the characteristics of those that are around them. They begin to act more like people, grown people, and less like babies. A Christian, a young Christian, doesn't know all the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, but someone who claimed to know the Lord Jesus Christ for 40 years and they doesn't follow His Word, something is desperately wrong. And if we love them, we'll take them aside and we'll open books like the book of 1 John, the epistle here, and we will show them that it's by the things that are evidence in our lives that we are assured that we know Him. Verse 6, "The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." Our actions and our walk should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. How did Jesus walk? In the Gospel of John that we've been looking at our Mercy Bible Fellowship and at Grace Bible Church for the past little while, we'll see that Jesus lived a life in total dependence on the Father and total dependence upon His will. And these are just some of the things that Jesus, the life He walked in. John 4:34 says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." John 5:19 says, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner.'" John 5:30, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." One of the ways that Jesus walks is obedience to the Father. When Jesus walked in obedience to the Father, it is in that He expressed His dependence upon God and is our role model as obedience to God's commands. As we're walking our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, as sin does get in our lives, as we do share the gospel and people reject us reject the Lord, but when we experience the failures that comes through life, all the trials and the tribulations, it's easy to want to give up sometimes. But we can have that assurance when we look at our lives and we can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we've come to know Him. We can know Him because we have come to know Him based on our obedience to His Word. We can know Him because we can walk in the manner as He has walked. When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Christ tells us to go into the world and to share the gospel. When is the last time that you've looked at the commandments of God? When is the last time you have really reflected yourself against God's Word? There's times when I read God's Word that I shed tears because of what it makes me see myself as a wretched person. Because God's Word shows me that I'm a sinner and that I need to get back in closer relationship with Him. It guides me down that path of life. Are we a reflection of Jesus this morning? Do we know Him based on the evidence that He is working through us and in us? Are we phonies? Are we counterfeits? Are we what John calls liars? Someone that has no truth? Let us be reflectors, reflecting the character and the manner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us walk in the manner that He walked. One of the hymns that I've always liked, I'm going to read it to you this morning. If you want to follow along, it's 349 in the hymn books, "Trust and Obey." It says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Christians, as we go through this week, let's examine our hearts. When we are talking with people about the Lord Jesus Christ and they ask us, how do I know I'm saved? Let us open God's Word to books like 1 John. And I suggest if you've never studied the book of 1 John, that you do so in your quiet time. That you look at all the tests that are given in 1 John to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. To know that our assurance of salvation doesn't lie on something that I've done based on my works, but something that Christ has done in me. And the evidence will show that we do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.